Chapter 13, if you would, the book of Joshua, chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there may be one there in the pew in front of you. I'd encourage you to find it and be able to look at these few verses that we'll see here in just a moment. Joshua, chapter 13. I want to talk today about staying by the stuff. We may call it sticking with it, or not quitting, or not giving up. The reality is that society today is filled with people who are giving up, it seems like, on almost everything. Jobs, churches, marriages. We have a society that often is willing to throw in the towel, and we become a people that are willing to quit simply if the going gets tough. And we're constantly encouraged by the Word of God that we're to keep going. But the problem is, the world encourages us to quit. The world encourages us to follow their trends and to throw in the towel. I read of a man who joined a monastery, and one of the rules was you could only speak two words every 10 years. Try that. So after the first 10 years, they asked him if he had anything to say, and he said, "Bad food." Another 10 years went by, and they came by and they asked him if he had anything to say, and he said, "Hard bed." And finally, on his 30th anniversary, they came by and they asked him if he had anything to say, and he said in a strong voice, he said, "I quit." And the man that was in charge of the facility there said, "Well, you might as well. All you ever do is complain anyways." You know, the Bible tells us that as believers, we are called to never give up and never give in to the ways of the world. And God gives some startling charge or challenge to Joshua here in chapter 13 in what I've entitled this message, "You're Not Finished Yet." Joshua chapter 13 is where we're going to be. And if you're able to stand, let me invite you to do that as we read the scripture here. Now, we're going to look at, in context, verses 1 through 7. But we're not going to read all of them here this morning right now. You'll see as we walk through the scripture here. Notice, if you would, beginning in verse number 1. "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years." I always find that to be humorous, that the Lord had to remind him of that. Isn't that good? "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth." Now I want you to watch this. In verse number 2, he says, "All the borders of the Philistines." And then he goes on to list what that looks like in the rest of verse 2 and verse 3. Now look at verse 4. "From the south, all the land of the Canaanites." And then he goes on to list what that looks like. In verse number 5, he says, "In the land of the Giblites." And then he instructs him some of the borders of that. And then in verse number 6, he says, "All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon," and so forth. Now look this way. In verse 2 through 6, God tells Joshua about all this land that belongs to all these other tribes. Did you see that? Watch what he says in verse 7. "Now therefore divide this land for inheritance unto the 9 tribes." Say, "Preacher, what's the irony of that?" The land was still inhabited by the enemy, but God said to divide it. You don't think it took faith to do that? You better believe it then. And the challenge that God gives to Joshua, I think, is one that you and I can learn from today as well, and that is, you're not finished yet either. Father, thank you for your word, and help us in these few moments as we look at it. May it be an encouragement and a challenge to each of us. Thank you for these dear folks that are here, guests and friends alike. May we receive a blessing from the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and thank you for standing. Here we are in Joshua chapter 13, and Joshua has lived a full life. The years of his life have been a struggle. There have been some battles. There have been some difficulties. And now by the time you get to chapter 13, life has started to take a toll on him. No doubt that by now Joshua feels it physically. There's no doubt he feels it mentally. He has worked long and stayed by the stuff. And I would say it's probably fair to say that Joshua probably feels it spiritually. I mean, there's been many tests of faith, not the least of which what we read about here in chapter 13. By the time we get here, Joshua is somewhere between the age of 90 and 100. We do know that by the time you get to Joshua chapter 24, he's 110. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you shooting for that? Some of you that are, well, anyways, 110. And Joshua's what we would say probably well beyond the place where many people would consider retirement age. He is well beyond where he is going to hang it up now, and he's done, and he's served the Lord, and he's put in his time, and he's really given as much as could really be expected for anybody to do so. I mean, after all, he's lived a full life, and he's put in many hours serving the Lord. He's fought many battles. He's had a career, if you will, as a great warrior. It would be fair that Joshua would retire. But God still had work for him to do. The Bible says that there still remained much land to be possessed. God was saying that there was some unfinished business that needed to be taken care of. Joshua, I know you may be looking at the horizon and you may say that your golden years are now upon you, and it seems like, Joshua, that you've done all that you can do, and now because of the turmoil and the trouble and the difficulties and the setbacks that you have in your life, you're just about ready to finish your race. But you're not done yet. Joshua, you're not finished yet. In fact, there's some things that you still need to tend to. And I wonder if there's any unfinished business in your life that needs to be taken care of. Here we are in 2019, and we do not know if God will grant us to cross over the threshold of 2020. We don't know what lies ahead in this year, and I wonder, as you look at this year, and some of you have some things planned out, and you've got a window of retirement, you've got a window of some goals that you set, and those are all well and good, and I think they ought to be the case, but I wonder if there are some things in your life this year that need to be finished. Maybe there's some wrongs that need to be made right. Maybe there's somebody in your life and your family that needs to be witnessed to this year. How about this? Maybe as you look toward the future, there's a will that needs to be made out and plans that need to be made. And you say, well, preacher, I don't really know that that's the time or the place for that, but I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as a man who has stood by many bedsides and has preached many funerals in my few short years, I got to tell you, you do your family and others around you a great service by planning ahead in your life. And you say, well, I'm just about done. I have a few more things that I need to take care of. Well, I want to say to you, sir or ma'am, you're not finished yet. And the statement that God makes here is a help to us, because none of us who are saved have an excuse for sitting down and giving up and throwing in the towel. We are all to be serving God. Oh, you may retire sometime from a career, and that's well and good. I hope that that place comes in your life, but you realize you never retire from serving God. You may retire from getting up and going to work every day and a routine that you have, but you never give up when it comes to being faithful to the Lord. And here's Joshua, who still had much to do, and he's a picture for you and I, regardless of our age and regardless of how long we've been saved or how much time we've had in this race. He's a picture to you and I as Christians that we're not to stop praying, and we're not to stop witnessing, and we're not to stop reading the Bible, and we're not to stop being faithful to church. I can tell you this, if you do, you'll become cranky and you'll become cynical, and it won't be long before you'll be discouraged and defeated. You know some people yourself who used to serve the Lord with you, used to be faithful in church, and now today they're probably at home or they're out doing something else other than serving the Lord today, and they're probably discouraged. They may have money and some of the things that the world can buy, but deep down inside, there's something that's still missing. And I want to challenge you this morning to keep going forward for Christ until you breathe your last breath. Joshua, you're not finished yet. As I read this and I begin to understand the context, I believe it also helps us be reminded that you can't rest on past achievements. You know, here we are with Joshua, and by the time you get to Joshua chapter 13, I got to tell you, just a few chapters that we read about, Joshua's had some tremendous victories. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's done some things that we don't see anywhere else in the Scripture. But God said, now, Joshua, it's wonderful that you crossed here and that you did this and that you fought this battle. And those are all well and good. But Joshua, there's still some more victories to be had. There's still some more to be accomplished. And there's still much to be done. And I'm saying to you today, it's better for you to run out in your race than to rust out. Maybe as a Christian, you've been saved for quite a long time. And you say, well, preacher, I've done these and I've done that and I've taught Sunday school and I've been in several churches and I've been faithful and I often tithe and give and I'm faithful to my marriage partner and I think those are all well and good, but you're not finished yet. There's still much to be accomplished. There's a story of a farmer that had a donkey that had fallen into an old abandoned well. And the farmer, when he figured out that the animal was there, the animal cried desperately for hours as the farmer ran around and tried to figure out how is he going to get this donkey out of this well. And he tried a couple different things, all to no avail. And finally, he decided that the donkey was old and really wasn't much use around the farm anymore. And the well was abandoned and the well needed to be covered anyways. So he called his neighbors. Now, if you are a fan of PETA and you don't like that, I'm not the farmer, so don't throw stones at me. He called his neighbors over and he invited them to get some shovels and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to cover in this well. And so the neighbors gathered around. They took the shovels and they began to throw them in on top of the donkey. And when the donkey realized what was happening, he began to bellow even much more and this awful sound. And they continued to throw piles of dirt until finally the donkey became silent. And all the neighbors and the farmer continued shovel after shovel. And finally the farmer got enough courage to walk over to the edge of the well and to look in, and he was amazed that every time they would throw a shovel load of dirt on the back of the donkey would just shake it off and stomp it down. And they'd throw the dirt in and he would shake it off and he would stomp it down. And this process kept up until finally the donkey got higher and got higher and got higher until he was able to just step right off out of the well and trot off across the yard. He didn't quit. He wasn't giving up, and he wasn't done. And ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the Word of God this morning, I want you to notice some things that are involved in this illustration and this instruction that God gives to Joshua. Let me give you three things this morning. Each of them have a little bit of a definition or sub-definition with them. And I want you to notice these couple things. First of all, we begin verse number one with a problem. There's a problem in chapter 13, verse number 1. Not one time, but two times, God mentions the fact that Joshua, ready, get it? He's old. Now, I know old's not really a politically correct word today, but that's what God said. He was old and stricken in years. Can I tell you something? It was an undeniable problem. I mean, all you had to do was look at Joshua, and you could tell. All you had to do was ask him. There wasn't anything you could do to refute the fact that Joshua was getting older. Now, today we live in a society that has this flawless complex. Everybody wants to look perfect. And so we Photoshop, and we airbrush, and we constantly and cosmetically alter our appearances. But you know what I found, ladies and gentlemen? With all of the advancements, it's an undeniable problem that you're getting old. All of us are getting old, and you can't run away from it. Some folks in here are weak today. Some folks have a knee problem or a back problem. Some folks have financial problems. Some folks have some other woes and burdens and difficulties. Some folks are troubled because of the burdens that they carry inside. And though you try to hide it, we can see it on your face. Some folks have physical ailments and a list of difficulties. And I want to tell you, you can run from those problems, and you can cover up those problems, and you can try to hide from those problems, but there's no denying the fact they're real. And this was an undeniable problem. You know, this was also an unavoidable problem for Joshua. There was no way that Joshua could prevent getting older. Now, this is going to help some of you ladies, I promise you. I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of money on all the creams and the hair colors and all of those kind of things. My wife's in the nursery today, so I can pretty well say what I want to. But there's nothing he could do to prevent that. I mean, the Bible says, God tells him that you're old and you're stricken in years. And as I understand and I read the scripture, there wasn't enough Wonder Lift or meaningful beauty creams that Joshua could put on himself to keep him from getting old. I know some of you, Dr. Oz has you believing that if you drink barley smoothies every day and rub charcoal under your eyes, that you're going to wake up 20 years younger tomorrow. Knock yourself out. But you know what you're going to find out? You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to have to face the fact it's unavoidable. Ready? Here it comes. You're getting older. It's an undeniable problem. It's an unavoidable problem. The only alternative to old age, it's death. Don't see you signing up for that either. Ladies and gentlemen, we all age. We all have ailments that come with that. Some of you have to wear glasses. Some of you, I can see your notes all the way from here without glasses. There are challenges that come with that. And if the Lord tarries, every one of us will die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I got to thinking about that. Some people today want you to believe that when you die, that's it. There's no afterlife. You just go off into a black nothingness and you cease to exist. Some people want you to believe that when you die or after you die, if you've lived a good life, you'll come back as a celebrity. If you've lived a bad life, then you'll be a pauper. Some people believe that after you die, you'll come back as a creature. If you've lived a really, really bad life, then you're going to be a spider or an ant or something like that. If you've been bad, then you'll be a mouse and you end up in somebody's mouse trap. But if you've been good, then you'll be a puppy or a kitten and everybody will love you. But you know, the Bible says, all kidding aside, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in his body according to what he have done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. John said in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't laugh at it. I wouldn't question it. I wouldn't mock it. I wouldn't shirk it off another day. I would know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And the Bible says that we can know that. John chapter 3, verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's an undeniable and unavoidable problem, but it was also an unchangeable problem. It wasn't any potion that Joshua could drink to remove old age. You know, it doesn't matter how many B12 shots you take. You're still going to get older. Now, here's the thing. We would think Joshua was about to retire. But God said, you're not finished yet. Number one, there's a problem. Number two, notice the pronouncement, verse number one. We're still in verse number one. What God said to Joshua was, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua, there's still a lot of land left. There's still some things to do. God was far from telling Joshua that his work was over and his ministry was done. In fact, God reminded him there's a whole lot more that could be accomplished. There's a whole lot more that he could do if he was just serving the Lord. And as I read this passage of Scripture, I see a couple things that God told Joshua. He reminded him of his potential. You know, it's encouraging to me that God didn't have a checklist, and when Joshua did everything on that checklist, God said, all right, you're done. Nothing more for you to do. Joshua, you've served me and done all that you can do. No, God didn't have that checklist. In fact, rather, God said, there is still more that needs to be done. There is land that needs to be conquered. There is land that needs to be possessed. Spiritually speaking, Joshua, there's still some lessons to learn. There's still some steps of faith that I want you to take. And Joshua, I want you to prove that you still trust me. And Joshua, I want those that are around you to see that you still trust me. See, it was one thing to break down the walls of Jericho. It's another thing to possess the city. It's one thing for you to fight a great decisive battle with temptation in your life. It's another thing for you to go on unto maturity and perfection. And add to your faith, knowledge, and temperance, and godliness, and loving, and brotherly kindness. Joshua, there remaineth still much land. And God reminded him of his potential. But notice, if you would, verse number 7, God required his participation. Now, I showed this when we read it a moment ago. In verse number 7, God told Joshua, now therefore divide this land for inheritance among the 9 tribes. It's kind of interesting. God didn't ask Joshua if he wanted to. Watch. Are you ready? God didn't ask Joshua if he felt like it. Joshua, how you feel today? Do you feel like serving me? Good, because I got a task for you. No, God didn't ask him any of that. In fact, what I find in the scripture is that God required it. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that even today, in spite of your problems and in the face of your difficulties, with full awareness of the infirmities that you have in your life, God requires you to participate in the work of God. He required his participation in possessing the land. And in so doing, God renewed his promise. Now, this is amazing that the land was to be divided, but it was still occupied by the enemy. I've read this passage I don't know how many times, and I don't suppose I saw it in that light before this week as I was studying that, but I thought, now, wait a minute, time out. The Philistines are still in the land, and the Canaanites are still in the land, and yet, for the rest of the chapter, they are dividing out the land, and you can have this land, and you can have that land, and this is going to belong to you, but they still occupy the land. God told Joshua, I want you to divide it. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that God was reiterating the truth that the inheritance was yours. But you are going to have to trust me, and you are going to have to believe in me, and you're going to have to follow me if you want it. Barry Lupin, when he's 26 years old, was stricken with a rare nerve disorder which left him completely deaf in both ears. He was well on his way to a successful law career, and all of those dreams vanished almost overnight. For 8 years, he drifted aimlessly, feeling sorry for himself and missing the beautiful sounds that he once heard and once enjoyed, until finally, after about 8 years, in his own words, Barry said, it was time for me to put my chin up and to keep on fighting. Because of that, Barry Lupin became a multimillionaire. He developed a car leasing program. Almost all of your major dealerships still use the same format that Barry Lupin created back then. It was said that when callers would call to speak to Barry, they were never told that he was deaf. On the other side of the room, a secretary would be on an extension line, and as they spoke on one end of the line, she would mouth to Barry what was being said, and then Barry would answer them in a normal voice. And they never had any idea of his ailments or his difficulties. And Barry said, if you have a handicap or a problem in your life, you can run to a corner and you can hide, or you can just try harder and trust that there is someone greater than you that has something still in store for you. I don't know if Barry Lupin was a believer or not, but it sounds like pretty good advice. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you today, God doesn't ask if you want to participate. God's not interested in whether or not you feel okay or whether or not it will work for you. But God has required, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required that all things in your life are to the glory of God. And the moment that you trusted Christ, you entered the battle as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and perhaps you've fallen into sin this week. We're already in the beginning of the year 2019, and you feel like, preacher, I just keep getting kicked, and I just keep feeling like I'm down, and I'm discouraged about that. Maybe you've been beat up or discouraged even this week. Maybe you've fallen, or you've fallen short. Maybe your family's been in a valley, and you've been struggling to keep your chin up. Maybe you're in this room, and somebody has said something to you. Maybe somebody in this room said something to you. And it wasn't fair, and you didn't deserve it, and you didn't ask for it. Can I help you today? You're not finished yet. You ain't finished yet. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, I know you're getting old, and I know that there's problems, and I know that there are big battles to fight with the Canaanites, and I know about the Philistines and the Gibeonites. I know all about those. And I want to tell you today, God knows about the battles that you face, and God knows about the difficulties that are on the horizon for you. God knows all of that. But you ain't finished yet. Now, what does all that mean for Joshua? In a few minutes that we have left, if you haven't written anything else down, I would encourage you to write down these three lessons that God taught Joshua. Now, my clock is very early, so I don't know what that means up here. Either everybody's crock pot's on high and we got to get out of here. I don't know what that means. But I want you to see these principles that God taught Joshua. Number one, God taught Joshua something about obstacles. Somebody said that God's promises are half seen and half faith. There's probably some truth to that. Because on one hand, God has promised land with vineyards that are already planted. I mean, olive orchards that are already producing, land where houses are already built. God promised it. But on the other hand, He does not give it to the Israelites without a fight. They must drive out the enemy. In fact, if you look across a few pages to Joshua chapter 17, verse number 17 and 18, you'll find where Joseph asked for, or the tribe of Joseph is presented with the opportunity that they can have another portion of the land. They can have double. And Joshua said, sure, you can have that land if you want to. All you got to do is cut down the trees and drive out the iron chariots. You can have that. It can all be yours. But you got to work for it. You know what that helps me understand? There are always obstacles in working for God. There are always battles in the will of God. But obstacles are part of the way of God to teach us to trust God. Because God wants to know if you will fully trust Him. God wants to know if He can trust you. Do you remember what Caleb told Israel when they first refused to enter the promised land? It's an interesting phrase. Caleb, in essence, said, "Giants, what's the big deal?" And then he made a statement. He said, "They are bread for us." They're bread for us. I read that, and I read it, and I read it over and over, and I began to understand that what Caleb was saying. Now look, guys, resisting the giants and fighting the giants and driving the giants out, they'll make us strong. They will grow us. They will strengthen our faith. They are bread for us. You may have an obstacle that you face or something that's caused you to think, well, I'm just not going to serve the Lord anymore. I'm just not going to go to that church anymore. I'm just not going to be faithful to the Lord anymore. I just don't know if I can continue to give, and I just don't know if I can continue to witness because of all these obstacles. Wait a minute. God uses our obstacles sometimes to teach us. Number two, God taught Joshua something about obstacles. Number two, God taught Joshua something about opportunity. Now, I doubt If any church in America could not honestly say, yeah, there remaineth yet much, very much land. There remaineth yet very much land. General Douglas MacArthur once said that a man is old when he begins to look backwards instead of forwards. We have a choice. We can either look forward and enjoy the blessings of what God has in store for us and continue serving Him, or we can look backward and we can forfeit all that God has in store and all that God wants for us today. And God told Joshua, there's a land still that needs to be possessed. There's a land still that needs to be retrieved and used for the glory of God. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you today, the same thing is true when it comes to your service for the Lord. City of South Haven has somewhere in the neighborhood of 60-some thousand homes. Olive Branch, not too far behind them, with 50-some thousand. And Horn Lake, also now, I believe, somewhere in the 50-some thousand. That's a good many people just living right here, and that doesn't encompass all of DeSoto County. And I got to tell you that for the Clearview Baptist Church, we have yet to reach every single door in DeSoto County. Well, we've tried and we've attempted to, and we have a strategic plan to try to get the gospel to everybody that's in our community. But can I tell you that that becomes much more of a feasible task, and it becomes much more of a reality when more people than just three or more people than just six show up to go out into the community to give the gospel and to share the word of God. You say, preacher, I'm not much for talking to people or sharing the gospel. My friend, you can give anybody a gospel tract. You can tell anybody about the fact that you're a child of God and that you believe in God. There remain a still much more land that needs to be possessed. There are classes that need to be taught. There are songs that need to be sung. There are buildings that need to be built for the glory of God. There are souls that need to be saved. There's rooms that need to be cleaned. And bathrooms, yes, bathrooms that need to be cleaned. There are people that are needed to work in the nursery, and there's tracts to be passed out and people to be visited. And as we spoke about in Sunday school class this morning, there's Christians that need to be encouraged, and there's people that need to pick up children so they can come to church, and there's people that need to pick up adults so that they can come to the house of God, and there are people that need to know that Jesus loves them and that He died for them. God wanted the children of Israel to go forward. I would tell you that God no less wants you and I to go forward as well. You're not finished yet. Now, it's amazing that their possession of the land depended almost solely on their submission and obedience to the Lord. I have no doubt in my mind that in Joshua chapter 13, verse number 7, if Joshua would have said, well, Lord, we're not going to do that until the land is empty. I have no doubt that in Joshua's day, they wouldn't have possessed the land. And you may say, well, preacher, I'll let someone else win them, or I'll let someone else build the building, or I'll let someone else give for the glory of God. I just want to enjoy the benefits. Wait a minute. God may not allow you to enjoy the benefits, but somebody else will. There remaineth still much land, and I want to challenge you, and I want to plead with you today that you ain't finished yet. When Henry Fawcett was 20 years old, he was on a hunting expedition with his father, and his father accidentally discharged a shotgun right in the line of sight of Henry. The discharge and the shot blinded Henry in both eyes immediately. People would have, no doubt, not blamed him for becoming bitter, even getting angry. I mean, Henry was a bright young man. He had ambitious goals that laid ahead of him. And in fact, to be honest with you, at first that is what happened. Here he is 20 years old, and his sight is taken away from him in just a moment. It's not just that it was taken away from him, but it was taken away almost seemingly, if you will, at the hand of someone who loved him. But Henry Fawcett understood that there was one thing that saved him as he looked back over his life, and that was the fact that he knew that his dad loved him dearly, and he knew that his father was so deeply grieved that he was almost out of his mind because of what happened on that fateful day. He decided that the only way that he could save his father's sanity was to choose himself to have hope. To choose himself to believe and to keep on going that he could be useful and he could still live a life with some meaning, even though he didn't really believe it. What happened is that before long, what was some sort of a pretense actually turned into reality. And Henry began to find out that there was meaning to his life. There was a reason for him to keep going. And Henry Fawcett was elected later to the Parliament in England, and he became the Postmaster General, who brought great improvements to England's postal and telegraph systems. And you say, "Preacher, what am I saying?" Your obstacle may be an opportunity. Or it may ruin your ability to serve the Lord. God taught Joshua something about obstacles. He taught Joshua something about opportunity. Here's the third thing. God taught Joshua something about obligation. Now, I've already pointed this out, but it bears repeating. God did not ask Joshua to volunteer. I like that. God did not ask Joshua that whether or not it would work in his schedule. In fact, God didn't even suggest to him that it would be nice. He didn't hint around about him going forward. No. He's commanded to possess the land because there's very much land that still remained. Can I say to you today, you're not finished yet. I don't know where you are in your race. Some of you may feel like, in verse number one, "Preacher, that's me. I feel like I'm old and stricken in years." And you are the wee age of 26. But some of you have crossed 76. And you can even see 86. You're not finished yet either. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us to be willing to press on for the cause of Christ. Lord, I don't know the hearts of listeners and hearers today, but I know the devil is active at trying to get Christians out of the race. And I pray that this morning all across this room, there'd be a renewed fervor to stay faithful for the glory of God. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.